The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Whether you're a pistachio purist who loves the experience of cracking them open, or you love the convenience of no-shell pistachios like myself, Wonderful Pistachios is the perfect healthy snack for when hunger strikes. And there are a bunch of tasty flavors to choose from too, like honey roasted, smoky barbecue, jalapeno lime, and more. Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Third all-time leading receiver in Philadelphia Eagles history. If you don't know who I'm talking about DeSean Jackson. What's up, gang? How we doing today?
What's the word, y'all?
D-Jack, you a gamer? What's up with the setup here?
Yeah. Y'all can't even really see my setup, though, but, you know, I do a little something, man. Yeah, I've been just really getting into the gaming side the past few months. So, yeah, I've been having some fun doing the gaming.
Is this the same house that I interviewed in? I interviewed you in?
Yeah, nah, this a new house. You ain't been to this house.
Excuse me, a new house.
I moved from that spot in Calabasas. But this a new spot. Definitely the setup is fired up.
DJ had a sick setup when I interviewed him for my show Laces Out on Sports Illustrated. It was a sick setup at his house in Calabasas. So, like, if this is, like, even an ounce of that or better, I'm excited. Brandon.
Of course, I mean, everything D-Jack do is just so smooth. You call D-Jack, you FaceTime him, he's in the back of a Maybach or some type of exotic car. It's like, yo, who's driving you right now? Unbelievable. But look, I think, Ashley, we're hitting, like, the whole country. We got you guys holding it down in Miami, mm-hmm. D-Jack in L.A., early mm-hmm. over there, and I'm here in New York. I'm in your neck of the woods right now. I'm here in the league office right now.
Yeah, dope. So before we start the show, I wanted to take like 90 seconds to address something. As you guys know, this is Women's Month and today is International Women's Day. And ooh. I've had the privilege of being raised by a strong woman who instilled in me that I can do anything that I put my mind to as long as I'm willing to work for it. And it's one thing to say that to your daughter, but it's one thing to instill the skill sets and the mindset needed to truly believe it and go out there and pursue the wildest of dreams. And because of that, I've been able to accomplish a lot of firsts in my life. I was the first Black woman to head SI's video department. I'm the first woman to join the flagship of I Am Athlete. And those are incredible accomplishments. But for me, the bigger thing there is knowing that my first will also not be the last. And I say that because it will one day make it a lot easier for the next woman who's pursuing this field to kind of overcome the obstacles that I've had to go through because the door is a little bit more open. So for all the women out there who, you know, are in a position to kind of blaze a path and open some doors, take that obligation seriously. Because it was done for us, and our responsibility is to make sure it's a little bit easier for the next generation. And I know that being a woman in a man's world is not always the easiest, because there's a lot of cards stacked against us, and there's a lot of obstacles set up to make us want to fail, or to make us want to quit, rather. And I say this to every woman out there who wakes up every morning and perseveres despite having every reason to just want to quit. To every woman who walks into her closet and is proud that everything in there she bought with her hard work. To every woman who's ever been told she's not pretty enough, she's not smart enough, she's not strong enough, she's not thin enough, or she's too big, she's too this, she's too loud, she's too ambitious. Keep fighting, keep pushing, keep persevering. The world is our oyster, and we are such an important part of making this world function. You are worthy. You are more than what you look like on Instagram. You are more than your follower count. You are more than your likes. You are an important part of this world. We need you in it. And we need you in it for not just the women of today, but for the women of tomorrow and the women of the future. I see you. I salute you. and keep killing it. Girls really do run the world. So happy International Women's Day to all the women out there.
That's beautiful.
Now, that's awesome. That's beautiful. Appreciate you taking the time and highlighting not only your mother, but speaking to so many women out there, Ashley. And I'll be quick here as well. Like, I'm just surrounded by some of the most powerful women in the world that's helping us build this company, two amazing companies, House of Appy and I Am Appy. So all the Biancas of the world, to the Bonnies, to the Beccas, to the Nagines of the world, you guys really hold it down. And there's so many other women within our company, literally. Kimmy, you know, taking our front desk experience and our front of house experience to a whole nother level. So big ups to all the women out there that are doing some amazing things and keeping us all together.
That's right.
You guys couldn't have said it any better. Shout out to all the wonderful women in the world. But all right, guys, we got a whole lot to talk about today, so let's get to it, right? It was a very eventful day in the football world yesterday, right? As it was the deadline for NFL teams to tag players with the franchise tag. We'll talk about the Giants and their decision to tag Saquon Barkley. We'll also talk about them extending Daniel Jones, right? We'll get into that. And also the Jets met with Aaron Rodgers yesterday. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But first, the Ravens place a franchise tag on Lamar Jackson, right? So just an hour ahead of the deadline yesterday, the Baltimore Ravens applied the non-exclusive franchise tag on Lamar Jackson, right? So the non-exclusive franchise tag will be worth about $32.4 million, right? This tag will allow Baltimore to match any team's offer if they choose to keep Jackson. But in the event the Ravens don't match that offer, they will receive two first-round picks from the team that Jackson joins, right? So I want to ask you guys, I mean, what happens? Does Lamar sit out, right? Does he play for the Ravens next year, or is he playing on a new team? What's next for Lamar Jackson?
You guys remember last show, Brandon, you remember last show or a couple of shows ago when I compared the Ravens to a guy who keeps messing up and telling you he's going to do better, he's going to do better, he's going to be better. But when it's when push comes to shove and the action is required to match the words, he never actually quite does it. Do I know men or do I know men? What did the Ravens do? They proved my exact point. It is so egregiously disrespectful that they place a franchise tag on Lamar Jackson. Daniel Jones got his deal with no problem. It came down to the wire, allegedly, but the Giants did what they needed to do. They don't have another quarterback option. Daniel Jones may not be a Lamar Jackson, but he's going to go ahead and do for them what they need him to do. Now, is he their forever quarterback? Probably not, but they know that at this moment in time, he needs them and they need him. The situation in Baltimore is so egregiously disrespectful. The fact that you place a franchise tag on your quarterback and not even an exclusive franchise tag at that, which means you're willing to actually lose him if somebody's able to meet the money or surpass the money you're willing to pay him. To do what exactly? To go where? What other quarterback is your option?
Right. Listen, Ashley, I mean, you're passionate about this and you've really been high on Lamar Jackson. I think a lot of us have. D-Jack, you played with Lamar. You guys know how I feel about the franchise tag. The franchise tag is fraud. The franchise tag has no place in the NFL. It's not a fair deal. It's not a fair tool. It gives all of the owners and the teams the leverage that they need to lock up their franchise player for the future, but it doesn't give the player any type of bargaining power to be able to negotiate and get the best deal or fair deal for them. So you know how I feel there. What I would say to this, Corey, you know, to answer your question, I don't know what Lamar Jackson is going to do as far as, like, is he going to play or not play? I wouldn't even be thinking about football at this standpoint. I obviously keep my body in shape. I keep going. I do what I'm supposed to do. You have responsibilities and a duty there as a professional athlete, but I'm leaning into the business. Mm-hmm. Lamar Jackson right now has an opportunity to debunk this whole thought process that athletes can't represent themselves. So now the game is on. Lamar Jackson has the leverage. Lamar Jackson's in the perfect position because now if he can get a team to go out there and invest in himself, in Lamar, then now – this whole thing that, his mother Felicia representing him makes no sense goes away right? Because if he can get a team to come in and give him $45 to $50 million, but also give him the guarantee that he wants, then it's lights out for all of this other conversation and this banter around how professional athletes approach their deals, right? You got to go back to the origin story of this. We talked about this a few days ago, D-Jack. On Monday, we talked about this, or maybe it was Tuesday, we talked about this, right? Where, you know, the leagues and the owners, right? Like, the thing that we should be looking at is this collusion, right? Are they going to the Atlanta Falcons? Are they going to some of these teams, the Carolina Panthers, and saying, look, y'all know what happened back in 1992, right? I need my John Elway. Don't take Lamar Jackson from me. We can't do this as a league, let players go out there and say, you know what? Deshaun Watson got a fully guaranteed contract. Kirk Cousins got a fully guaranteed contract. I want the same thing because the numbers are getting outrageous, D-Jack. So if you go back to 1992, you had Pat Bowlen, the owner of the Denver Broncos, walk into the league office back in the day and say, look, I can't lose John Elway. John Elway, this was the introduction of free agency. This was the introduction of the salary cap. You think I can lose John Elway? So you don't think that the Baltimore Ravens and the owner there is sitting there saying that to his peers? I can't lose Lamar Jackson. Don't touch him. Let me work through this. Give me more time. So I think the next couple months is really going to give Lamar an opportunity to debunk this whole thought process that players can't represent themselves, D-Jack.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, and let's call a spade, man. This man has put it on the line for this organization, man, since day one. He was drafted, 2017, 2018? You know, and just what he's done for that organization, man, he's changed the game. I look at it having been fortunate to play with him. You know, obviously younger in my career, I played with a guy by the name of Michael Vick, very similar. Mm-hmm. And their playing styles. And I look at, Lamar Jackson as the new era of a Michael Vick. He's able to run the ball. He's able to not take hits. I mean, you know, what quarterback doesn't get hurt? It's hard to, you know, with that type of style of play, you know, you look at the Cam Newtons of the world, and guys that are physical and running the ball. And, you know, his statistics, man, is his winning percentage, 80%+ winning since he's been a starting quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens. He's changed the culture of the game. It has to become a time and place where these owners take the credibility and say, you know, let me own up to this. Let me pay this man. I mean, you know, on the other side of the shoe, you know, when other guys, you know, Daniel Jones or these other Kirk the Cousins, you know, all these guys, you know, they do everything in the world for their organization, man. Just going and, I mean, how hard is it to just salute that man and say, you know what, you've done a great job. Let me reward you with a great contract. You've been in the communities. Right. You haven't got in trouble off the field. We always talk about the off the field. And, you know, black quarterbacks coming from the areas they come from. But Lamar Jackson's, you know, slate is very clean. I had a chance to play with him. And, you know, he definitely has, you know, a unique way about going about, you know, his preparation. But what I would tell you, he puts it on the line for his team. You know, his teammates, you can count on him. You know what he's going to do. And at the end of the day, it's almost like a backyard football. You know what I'm saying? But I'm saying all this to say, man, like, step up to the plate, man, and pay that man. He's very deserving of it. And, you know, if it is the Deshaun Watson contract that he's looking off of and he's trying to get the guaranteed money, I mean, it's not going to get any better. No disrespect to no other quarterback in that room, but Lamar Jackson, when he's present and he's on the field, the record shows for it, man. So it just comes a place and time, man. Let's call a spade, man. That guy is deserving of a contract, and I feel like, you know, it's kind of almost a slap in the face. You know, you go place the franchise tag on him, and if we can't compete with the number, then okay, we'll take two first round picks. Like, right. Where's the loyalty at? Like, I mean, it's just bothering.
Well, where they're at is actually what they're saying is, we think that the Deshaun Watson and the Cleveland Browns deal was an outlier, right? You had a desperate team that's been at the bottom of the NFL barrel for so many years and decades, and they're saying, you know what, we're willing to do whatever it takes to get back to prominence or get to prominence, right? And so that's how they're thinking about it. But at the end of the day, the market is the market. Look at, you know, and we'll talk about this later, Ashley, but Daniel Dimes deal in New York. And there's a lot of people saying, is he deserving of that price tag? Well, the market is the market for quarterbacks that are up, for quarterbacks that could potentially hit free agency. Lamar Jackson, Ashley, is an outlier. So, you know, it's disappointing to see how, you know, these teams try to leverage, you know, these different tactics to lock guys in and not give the guys the deal that they deserve. And maybe the team don't think they deserve it, Ashley. But you know what? Another team will. And that's what dictates and sets the bar in the market.
Yeah. I mean, listen, like you said, the market is the market. And there's obvious collusion going on. There's obviously, you know, the league.
Ashley, I want to say this before you move on. Sorry to interrupt you. Okay. I'm just glad that we are now on the same page and we're using the word collusion. Because that's not what you did the first very show. That
you didn't use the word correctly. Collusion is the verb. It's actually, no, collusion is the noun. It's the thing. That's not the verb. You used it incorrectly. So
carry on, Ashley.
I will.
Carry on.
I'm the journalism major here. I know words. But listen, I will say that I taught you gravitas. Remember, you know, that's part of your vocab.
Go,
now. Listen, I will say this. There's obvious collusion going on here, right? I think the team owners saw what the Browns did with Deshaun Watson before, you know, the ruling of that situation that he found himself in throughout the entire offseason and into the regular season. You know, before that even came out, the Browns did not know what the outcome of that situation was going to be before they paid him all that money. Luckily for them, he was in a court of law, found innocent of everything that he was accused of. So it worked out in the long run. But people are kind of looking at that through the lens of optics, and it still doesn't look great. It still doesn't look like a clean deal, if you will, if there's such a thing in the NFL, right? So I think that owners are trying to, the league in general is trying to right that wrong by making other quarterbacks, you know, pay the price for that, which is not fair because, like you said, Brandon, the market is what the market is. And we talk about these intangibles all the time. We talk about the moving goalposts when it comes to white quarterbacks and black quarterbacks in the NFL, or just white athletes versus black athletes in general. That conversation's happening within the NBA discourse regarding the MVP conversation. So when we talk about intangibles and we talk about what we want from the leader of a franchise, Lamar Jackson, like D-Jack said, doesn't have any off-field situations that he's been in that are so just overly damaging to the Ravens brand. Like, I can't think of a single instance. So you talk about prioritizing a leader on and off the field. You talk about all these intangibles. You talk about a team guy, a locker room guy, which is the term that they love to overuse in the NFL. Lamar Jackson checks every box. He's an MVP. Yes, he doesn't have the playoff wins that I'm sure the fans and the organization would like him to have, but that's not a Lamar Jackson singular issue. That's a team issue. That's surrounding him with the pieces to go ahead and produce wins when they count.
Right.
I say all that to say, you, in one breath, you talk about all these things that you want in a franchise quarterback. You have somebody staring you in the face who has more than eloquently dealt with this situation for as long as he has dealt with it, and that's still not enough for you because you still place a franchise tag on. You still don't make that deal happen. Everything that you could want from this man, he has given you in his productivity, in the way he represents the brand. There is not a single person who you can find that can say a bad thing about Lamar Jackson.
So let me ask this.
And it's still not enough for you.
So let me ask you this question, DJ, because you were there, right? Obviously, you had an opportunity to play with him. You were in that organization. I mean, you're a Hall of Fame wide receiver, one of the best to do it. So when your time's up, you definitely will be in that discussion. You know what it takes, right? You know what being a pro is. There's some guys that are up for contracts, and you're like, yo, we can't get this guy I wouldn't pay this dude right now. He gonna fumble the bag, right? And, yeah. And what insisted of that is, are you showing up to work on time? Are you working out? How are you in the locker room as a leader? You know, how do you show up when we're watching film? Do you take notes, right? Can we count on you? Are you dependable? What are you doing off the field, right? We're having this conversation around John Moran. I mean, you and I both early on in our career, you know, showed signs of immaturity, but we were able to grow and become men, you know, as time went on in the NFL. I'm saying all of this to ask you this question. With all of that being said, is Lamar Jackson worthy of not only a contract, but a big contract?
I mean, I look at it like this. There's no way in my mind, if I'm the Baltimore Ravens and I'm the owner, general manager, whatever you want to call it, I'm not figuring out a way to keep this man happy. At the end of the day, you got to understand, these organizations, these teams, these coaches, they allow players to be what they are. At the end of the day, how I was raised and how I was brought up, You understand that. You know that. You did your research. You did your homework before I got to where I'm at. You know what I'm saying? It's a big decision that comes inside. I mean, that coincides with that. So all I'm saying is, if I'm Lamar Jackson and I come to work and, you know, I'm born and raised in, you know, South Florida, like, you getting what you're getting. Like, you're not getting something that you thought was something else. You know what I'm saying? So we invested in that from the get-go. I took him as a first-round pick, and he's my franchise quarterback. Now, obviously, you know, the playoff wins, you know, you can count the playoff wins and all that other stuff. Who doesn't want their quarterback or franchise quarterback to have playoff wins? But I still look at, he's still young. This man, he's still in his.
He's 27.
First contract, bro. This man came from Louisville. He had a crazy college career. Like, everybody was just like, oh my God, Lamar Jackson. He came to the NFL and was successful. Go back to when Joe Flacco was a starting quarterback and he finished the rest of the season. He came in and you didn't look back. Obviously,
got you to the playoffs.
Joe Flacco was a hell of a quarterback. He won a Super Bowl. I mean, he did everything for the Baltimore Ravens. Come in and have Lamar Jackson to come in right off the bat, have success. And his records was crazy. With his first year starting, what did they go? Like, I think he
11,
won maybe.
They won
like,
11 wins.
But what did he win? Like, he won like 8 games because he didn't start that whole year. I think he had like 6 or 7, 8 wins in his first year. And that's not even have him a full starter for the whole year. And then the next year he comes in and gets him to the playoffs. And then they come back the next year. Like, honestly, bro, like, I'm baffled with how they treat this guy. And it's just so, unfair, bro.
D-Jack, you just brought up something that's over everyone's head and a lot of people don't talk
and
about.
And hold on, I got to stop you. And last year was my first year playing with him, but let's be real. What help has he had in the receiver room? Like, come on, let's talk about the help. Let's talk about, because Ashley mentioned it. You have to give this man help. You can't come in every year, oh, I'm gonna load him up with 7 tight ends, 4 running backs, 3.
We talked about this, Jack, though. But, Jack,
come on.
But, Jack, we talk about this. You know, is it him? Is he recruiting? But you got to go back again in history. Do your homework. Stop fucking having these surface-level conversations. If you actually do the work, then you know that the Baltimore Ravens have never, ever paid a wide receiver. Anquan Boldin wasn't even in his prime when they had him. But he obviously gave him great work for a couple of years. Steve Smith, same thing. They have never gone out and made a splash in free agency at the wide receiver position. So they got to do something different. They got to be uncomfortable doing that before we can even talk about
it. That's not their style.
But they have to. But
you're right. That's not their style, though. I thought that, bro. When I came in, I'm like, all right, he's never played with a guy like me. You know, no disrespect to the Hollywood Browns or the he didn't really play with Torrey Smith too long. But, bro, they've never been that team.
I know, but this is the thing that went over a lot of people's heads over the last couple of years. You just brought up that first year. Hopefully we can go into Google. Let's go on Google and see how many games he, you know, actually came in and played to relieve a struggling Joe Flacco that year. I think it may have been 6 games or whatever, but we'll see.
Right.
Look, he saved John Harbaugh's career, his job, not career, his job. He did. He was going to get fired after that year. John Harbaugh was done. Lamar Jackson comes in. You insert him. He gets him to the playoffs. He saves his job. So, John Harbaugh, where are you right now? Why aren't you standing on the table saying, look, we a package deal. If we don't get Lamar Jackson signed, I'm out of here. Because John Harbaugh, you can easily go to a D1 school and be a head coach there. You can easily hit the market, the free agency market, as a head coach in the NFL, and somebody's going to give you a job. You're John Harbaugh. You have the pedigree. You have the experience. John Harbaugh needs to stand up and say, Lamar Jackson saved my job here. I was going to get fired. We took out Joe Flacco. He's been here, got a Super Bowl champion, held it down for many years. But we put in Lamar. Lamar got us to the playoffs, and the rest is history. Come on, John Harbaugh, let's go.
There's two issues going on here for me. First of all, the Ravens they have scared money, apparently. They have PTSD from the Joe Flacco situation, where they gave Joe Flacco all that money, and it went ahead and pushed their organization, their franchise, back a couple of years because, you gave a quarterback all that money, but he really couldn't do anything because there wasn't any money left to go ahead and build around him. And let's call a spade a spade. The defense won that Super Bowl, but we can have that conversation a different day. So I think that it's a little bit of not trying to have the same mistake happen. But Joe Flacco is not Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson is not Joe Flacco. So let's go ahead and make that very clear. So what the Ravens are essentially doing is, I don't know if you guys have ever heard the saying, don't cut off your nose to spite your face. You're basically trying to go ahead and right a wrong with a totally different type of quarterback. But in the long run, you're going to screw yourself out of any chance to be competitive and to win. And to win Super Bowls, because there's not another Lamar Jackson waiting for you. You don't have the option to go ahead and get a top quarterback in the draft. You don't have a top pick. All those quarterbacks will be gone. So let's go ahead and make that very clear. On the other side of that, I want everybody who's going to be reporting on this story, because we talk about this all the time, about quarterbacks, you know, putting the team first and guys being locker room guys first and, you know, kind of putting their own wants, needs, desires, their own business on the back burner for the betterment of the team. That's the brand of the NFL. Team comes first. But I want everybody to remember exactly what happened in this situation. Lamar Jackson has done just that. How many times can you recall when asked about it at a press conference, asked about it after a game, I'm just here to play football. I want to win games. I want to win a Super Bowl. I want to get to the playoffs. I want to win. I want to be here. He has done everything possible on his end to make it known that all he wants to focus on is winning and playing football. You guys, the Baltimore Ravens, have taken advantage of that, because a lot of guys would not have shown up the minute you said you're not paying him. Lamar did that. Why? Because he's a team first guy. What you did is take advantage of that. And you're taking advantage of that on a losing situation for you, because there's not another Lamar Jackson waiting for you. So I want everybody who's going to report on this story and go ahead and start talking about being a team first and should Lamar show up and should Lamar accept the franchise tag and should Lamar, remember that Lamar did all of that, and now it's time for Lamar to put Lamar first. Screw being a team guy. Right. Screw the locker room. I did that. It didn't work. Now I got to worry about me.
Right, Corey from the cut. Well said, Ashley. Corey from the cut. Let's see what D-Jack has to say about this next topic.
Right. So, yeah, let's get into it. So, look, guys, after talks began on Monday, the New York Jets flew out to Aaron Rodgers' home in California to meet with the quarterback in person. Right, so with Derek Carr officially off the market, the New York Jets will probably, you know, more than likely make a push to land Rodgers. Now, just as Jet officials, you know, were attempting to recruit Rodgers yesterday, a few Jet players did the same via social media. We wanted to show you guys, you know, a few tweets that we had came across. Right, so Pro Football Focus did a good job of this edit with Aaron Rodgers with the New York Jets uniform. But if you see here, Sauce Gardner, he quote retweeted it and said, "Hey Rodgers, I promise you, if you become a Jet, I won't pick you off in practice. I'll burn that cheesehead."
Thing on his head.
And how good that would be for Sauce Gardner's, you know, development, having Aaron Rodgers in practice, right?
So, can I jump into this one first?
Yeah. No, go ahead. I mean, like, well, yeah, what are the Jets? You know, what you think the Jets are going to land the Rodgers?
Yeah, man, I'm going to just get straight to it, man. I'm a realist with this, man. I honestly don't think that's the right play for Aaron Rodgers, man. Really? Now,
Brandon's going to start crying, D-Jack. You know, pursue with caution.
I'm a realist, and Brandon know how I'm coming, man. Mm-hmm. Honestly, man, we looking at legacy, man, right? Let's just go on and say it. I got Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to just go on and I'm going to be fair. I'm going to give him top five all time, and that's in my book, right? Legacy. If I'm leaving Green Bay to go to the New York Jets, how can I do that, man? Honestly, I can't. I can't do it. My future, you know, everything I've been in my career, how can I leave from being franchise? I mean, broken records from Brett Favre. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on, man. Like, the Jets had a hell of a year. I'm not going to discredit that. They had a hell of a year, and I see him being a very different team. But honestly, does he get them over the hump? Maybe so. But legacy, if I leave Green Bay and everything I established in Green Bay to go to the New York Jets, I just don't see how I can cope with that, man.
D-Jack? What do you mean? Like, break it down. Depends on what he's looking for. I mean, you left. You went from Philly to the NC in division rivals, the Redskins
So let me just
and then you left
right
the Redskins. You went to
let me
Tampa.
Pause you there. You and don't be feeling this one way off of one season. You hear what I said? That one way, you feeling one way over one season. So let me ask you this: if I'm Aaron Rodgers, Do I leave Green Bay to go to the New York Jets off of one season?
Well, it depends. It depends on what you're looking for, what you're searching for. When he came out of that that darkness retreat, and he came out and said, "I want to continue to play ball, and I want to win a championship," then the easier route to the championship and playing good ball is in New York. D-Jack, you know this, bro. Like, yeah, okay, great. We got the great Deshaun Jackson who averages, you know, 17 yards a catch. Never been done in the NFL before. Great, great, great. But D-Jack, I'm sorry, baby, but defense wins championships, okay? And you got a top five defense that is young and thriving and that can run the division for the next 5-6 years. You got a Garrett Wilson who could potentially be a top five wide receiver statistically and within the next couple of years, definitely a top five receiver in the league. And you got Elijah Moore. Bro, people need to stop sleeping on Elijah Moore. You got Hall coming back. So what I'm saying is this. If Aaron Rodgers wants to continue to play ball, the better fit for Aaron Rodgers is in New York, D-Jack, from a football standpoint.
But let me ask you this, Brandon. Would you consider – defensively, I agree with you about the Jets, but offensively, would you consider that a young offense?
I would consider that, yes, a young, young, intelligent offense that's ready to go.
Okay, so
you insert – go ahead.
No, my follow-up question is this. What was the biggest – what was one of the biggest issues that everyone had with Aaron Rodgers going into this season was the lack of leadership that he gave his young receivers, like he did with Jordy Nelson, like he did with Devontae Adams, like he did – the other name is passing me right now. But he did – that Randall Cobb when he was there, things like that. What makes you think that somebody who has shown he is not willing to go ahead and groom a wide receiver, a young wide receiver who's playing with one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, that that's not going to be the same issue when he gets to New York? He has shown that he's not that guy. He is not the guy to take you under his wing and say, let's work on this together. He's And that's okay, because not everybody is that guy. We had that conversation with Steven Jackson. Some vets don't take that role and take it seriously. They say, it's not my problem. Nobody did it for me. I'm not going to do it for you. Do you trust that same characteristic going into an offense with impressionable young wide receivers? Do you expect him to go ahead and take that leadership role with them when he's already shown he can't do it in Green Bay?
Let me tell you why. Right now, yesterday, Woody Johnson's beautiful G5 jet flew from Florham Park, literally 0.9 miles away from the One Jet Drive. The headquarters is this private airport. I used to fly out of that damn airport all the time, D-Jack and Ash. He flew from there to Appleton, Wisconsin. What's in Appleton, Wisconsin? Another private airport. And who was there to greet him? Aaron Rodgers. And the conversation that you have with Aaron Rodgers when you land, are you going to do those things? If we give up X amount in compensation, we actually invest X amount in your contract, what are we going to get from you? Everyone in the NFL knows what needs to be done if you want to have a good product on the field. He's going to have to get with his young wide receivers and invest in them. He's going to have to get in that building when this gets done.
What Nathaniel Hackett
He knows Nathaniel Hackett, his offensive coordinator that was with him before he took the job in Denver. So there's going to be no problem there for them to get on the same page. But you have to know that Woody Johnson, Nathaniel Hackett, who's also there, was on that G5 Jack, he's going to ask those same questions. Aaron Rodgers, that's why I say you need to retire. I didn't say he's going to retire and everybody in the NFL start hitting me up thinking I'm Adam Schefter breaking news. I said he should retire, because if you're not willing to go all in and do those things that you just highlighted, Ashley, then it's time to go.
Brandon,
Go ahead, Ashley.
You're giving this man credit. You're saying that having a conversation with him in person and telling him this is what you need to do if you come to the New York Jets. Yeah, that sounds great, but you don't think he was aware of that's what he needed to do when he arrived in Green Bay after the offseason? After the offseason with a young receiving core, he knew that they needed his leadership. They knew that he knew that he needed to work with them a little bit more. And what did he do? He took the opportunity and he threw those wide receivers under the bus and did not work with them.
That's not what he did.
Yeah, that's 100% what he did. He threw them under the bus instead of taking the opportunity to say, I got a new core of young guys. They're looking up to me for leadership. It's my responsibility, not only as the leader of this football team, but as a veteran in this game. And he did not take the opportunity. So what makes you think that because he will vocalize, yeah, I'm going to do it when I get to New York and with the Jets. He's the same person. That is not who he is, and that's fine, but he's not going to go ahead and do what he didn't do in Green Bay, an organization that he has existed in his entire career, and all of a sudden flip the switch and do it in New York. You don't believe that. Come on.
So let me respond to that quickly, and then I'm going to throw it to D-Jack. So, D-Jack, we can get your thoughts on this, right? Because we may be on opposite ends of the spectrum here. I don't know. I just think that I don't think I'm a great communicator. Because this shit that I'm saying, I've been saying for a whole year, and people just don't listen to me, or it's just like, I don't know what I'm talking about. But what I said just a week ago, when we opened up this paper route show, I said, I want to be the first to give flowers to Aaron Rodgers. Why do I want to do that? Because when you're in your head, Ashley, you're 17 years in, 18 years in, and you start thinking about like, man, should I just go spend a whole offseason in Hawaii and not go with my guys? It's time to hang them up. It's not fair to everyone in the organization. But if you choose to continue to play ball, DJ, you come out of that retreat, that darkness retreat. You have Woody Allen and Nathaniel Hackett and the general manager sitting there saying, are you going to commit? If you look me in my eyes and say yes, and we give up compensation, we pay you, then the expectation is to get your ass to One Jet Drive and be there. Right. So that's what I'm saying. Yes, I know what last year and the last 2 years have shown. But what I'm saying is if we're men and we're sitting down and we're trying to get a deal done and we agree, I expect that to happen moving forward. That's what I'm saying, D-Jack and Ashley.
So is it, because I heard you reference the money. You think it's the money at Aaron Rodgers, 17 year in the NFL? You think it's about the money?
It could be. But
if I put X, Y, Z in a contract, you're going to do this. You think it's. I don't think it's that shallow. I mean, he's on a great contract now. I mean, he just got extended. So for me, it's like I'm kind of siding with Ashley on this one. I'm not gonna lie, because I'm like, at this point in my career, if I'm Aaron Rodgers, I mean, just go back and look at Tom Brady, right? When Tom Brady went to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I was actually in Tampa. I have a house in Tampa. I live in Tampa. I was actually around the Chris Godwins. I was around the Mike Evans. He took initiative to go to Tampa. He bought a crib, and he was there with the receivers. He implemented workouts every day before he even entered the building.
Aaron Rodgers is not that guy.
He's not the same guy. And it's no discredit to Aaron Rodgers, but if I'm going off a personal relationship with my guys, besides, like she said, the few names that we can go off, we can go Jordy Nelson, we can go even Greg
James
Jennings.
James Jones. Donald Driver.
But let's, come on. Let's, who was that? Jordy Nelson. Who else?
Randall Cobb.
That's the last one we just said.
Randall Cobb.
Let's just be real. Besides that, he's never got personal with any young receivers
because
he always had the bigger guys to lean on to. So now I have to go with some young guys. And don't get me wrong, the talent that they have over there in New York is blossom them. Them young dudes came in and did some crazy things.
Okay, but my question, DJ, how did he build that relationship with those guys that you just named?
But he's not the same guy anymore, though, Brandon. But that's what I'm saying. You're referring to Aaron Rodgers 10 years ago. He's not that same leader anymore. He's not that quarterback. And that's fine. You change.
Ashley,
you change as
Ashley.
A man. You change as a player. You cannot expect this version of Aaron Rodgers, who has already shown you he is not that guy, to all of a sudden flip the switch Jets. If it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's a duck. And Aaron Rodgers is not a leader in that regard anymore.
I honestly feel where you're coming from, dog. I gotta tell you that, because I don't want you to feel I'm missing it. I feel where you come from. I just don't see A-Rod doing that at this point in his career, bro. I'm sorry. I'm not gonna vouch for him, dog. I just don't see it.
And that's fair. I'll
hell of a quarterback.
Alone.
Hell of
Listen,
a quarterback.
I'm used to my back being against the wall and nobody agreeing with me. I'm comfortable right now. I'm actually okay. You wanna agree with Ashley Nicole Moss? That's fine. But this is why I'm saying you're missing it, Ashley. Right. The dude last year did ayahuasca.
I don't care if he did cocaine. It doesn't make a difference.
Just stay with me here. Stay with me here. He goes on Joe Rogan. He's talking about coronavirus this, and we're talking about this potentially conspiracy. He goes to a darkness retreat where there was no light and only a yoga mat in this cabin for three days.
You're giving him a different credit right now.
Here's what I'm saying, though. He's on a spiritual journey, a spiritual awakening, meaning that when you're on this journey, Ashley, all I'm saying is you're looking for what's next. You're looking how you can evolve. So, yes, he hasn't shown that the last 2-3 years, but coming out of this darkness retreat and then sitting down talking business with Winnie Johnson, he could potentially come out and say, you know what? I am going to show up.
Okay, Brandon, my question for you, Brandon, and then we'll get to DJ, because we actually have a fan question for him. But I want to, why do you think that the darkness retreat and all of the things he's done in the offseason and will continue to do in the offseason, go to Maui, sitting on top of Machu Picchu, wherever he's going to go, to go ahead and enlighten himself and center himself, why do you think that has anything to do with anyone other than himself? You think he's going there to, like, teach himself how to be better to young receivers? I highly doubt that. He is going there to focus on one person, one entity, one responsibility, and that's the man in the mirror. He does not give it. He's not doing that to better himself as a leader. He's not doing that to make sure that he can go ahead and lead a young core of receivers. He is not that deep. It is about Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Rodgers only. I like that you're on the side of optimism.
So you want me to answer your question?
Glass half full, but it's not that deep.
Are you giving a statement, or did you really ask
that? That was a question.
It
was a statement and a question.
Like
my question is, do you really think that's what he's going there to do, to learn how to be a better leader?
I think everybody should take a page out of Aaron Rodgers' book and focus on themselves. Put yourself first. Love yourself first. If you're able to do that, you're going to make the world around you better. You're going to make the people around you better. So, yes, when Aaron Rodgers comes out of that darkness retreat and he looks at his world and say, yeah, what does my love life look like? Do I want to have children? What do I want to do in business? You know, he's a venture guy. He makes major investments here and there. He's a part owner of the Bucks, right? What do I want to do in that space? And then another big space that's sitting there is what he does every single day, his daily job that pays him the most amount of money. He's actually due $60 million this year. He's going to say, I'm on a team. So how do I make this team better if I'm going to stay around? So yes, Ashley, I do believe coming out of that darkness retreat, he's going to make himself better, which makes the world around him better if he's actually approaching this the right way. Well, Carry on, like our boy Kendrick Perkins. Says.
I like that optimism that you have there. D-Jack, we have a fan question for you, though, before we move on to the next topic, Corey. If you had a choice of one QB, past or present, to throw you the football, who would it be and why?
Ooh, good question. Good question.
Past and present quarterback that can throw me the ball. Who and why? Man, that's a great question, man. I done play with some guys, man.
Honestly, Nate, before you answer that question, what's the top three guys you played with?
Top three quarterbacks I played with. I would say Nick Foles. I'm putting Nick Foles in my top three.
Oh my goodness.
I'm gonna say Nick Foles. I'm gonna put Diamond in there, and I'm gonna go Michael Vick.
Great. Right. That's awesome.
But the reason why I put Nick Foles in there, man, I had my best statistic year with him, man, in 2013. People could credit Chip Kelly's offense or everything he came and implemented from Oregon, even though I don't really care less for that dude. But yeah, man, Michael Vick was a part of that year too, though. So 2013. But nah, man, Foles, man, a lot of people don't give credit to Foles, man, for what he is, man. He's actually a good Foles. I mean, a good quarterback. He tied the record for most touchdowns in the game. 7 touchdowns, bro. Come on.
I like that, but hey, Google, can you look up DeSean Jackson's stats when playing with Ryan Fitzpatrick? I thought you would put Ryan Fitzpatrick in your top three.
Fitz, my dog. Fitzmagic. I only played with him for like a year and a half, though, maybe 2 years.
That's a great sample size. So anyways, get to Ashley's great question. That's a phenomenal fan question.
But
our fan, not Ashley.
Yeah, I would probably had to pick Michael Vick, man. I ain't going to lie. Michael Vick, growing up, you know, was one of my favorite players all time. You know, I had three favorite players. It was Kobe Bryant, Allen Iverson, and Michael Vick. It was my top three players all time. And to be able to play with Michael Vick in 2010 when he actually got released from prison and we had the opportunity, I remember Coach Reed came in the room. We was in the offensive meeting room when me, Macklin, I think LeSean McCoy, we was all in the room and he was asking us, like, man, what you think about Michael Vick? Like, we got a chance to sign him. Would y'all like that? And I'm like, I turned to look. I said, what do you mean would I like that? I would love that. Michael Vick, like, he's my idol, bro. So it was like, man, a crazy experience, man, a dream come true, man. I learned so much from Michael Vick, man, a brother figure, man, a mentor. And, you know, his story, so, man, his story, man, I was able to learn so much from what he went through, man, and, you know, him going to prison and stuff like that. So, yeah, man, definitely I would pick Michael Vick.
That's what's up. That's
Vick. Okay, present. Now you got to ask the – answer the present. Present. Is it Josh Allen? Is it Patrick Mahomes?
Is it Dak Prescott?
Oh, present? Shit, I ain't had to play with him. Dak
Joe Burrow.
Ooh, Joe Burrow would be nice.
Lamar Jackson. You playing play with Lamar Jackson. So, but yeah, what I'm saying in the right offense, the right scheme, and them actually utilizing you.
I ain't gonna lie. I'm going with Patty, bro.
I'm going with
Patty, dog. I gotta do Patrick Mahomes. MVP pot smoking on that damn cigar.
What do you say? We smoking on that Eagles pack, boy.
Chill. Hold on, chill, Ash.
I was smoking on that Eagles pack. Listen,
man, come on, man.
You know what it is. Team, you know how deep that rivalry runs, though, D-Jack. That's not a surprise to you.
Corey from the cut. Yeah. Let's go to the next one. But also, while we're chatting about this next topic, find a way to put in a question later in the show. Maybe fact or foolish. Mm-hmm. Who's going to win a division? Is it going to be the Eagles or the Dallas Cowboys? Because we got some beef here stirring up.
All right, let's address that a little bit later. But all right, guys. So what we're going to talk about next, right, is the big day it was for the New York Jets yesterday. So they were able to come to terms with quarterback Daniel Jones. So
Giants.
What did I say?
Jets.
Oh, I did say Jets? Mm-hmm. We were just talking about the Jets.
I got a question.
These Giants.
I got a question for B, too, when we get there. I still got a question about the Jets. Go ahead.
That's all right. So Jones and the Giants, right, finalized a deal worth $160 million over 4 years, but it would also include an extra $35 million if incentives are met. And then you know, at first there was uncertainty over whether or not the Giants were going to use the franchise tag for Jones due to, you know, stalling contracting negotiations. But in the end, the Giants chose to extend Jones. And then we learned shortly after that the team would use their franchise tag on Saquon Barkley. So that move was set up Barkley to make about $10.1 million next season. So I'll start with you, Brandon. Did the New York Giants get this right?
The New York Giants actually came out on the better end of this. There's an argument that Danny Dimes could have gotten more. You got to think about it. The two names you mentioned, as far as on that offensive side, Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley, they probably made up and company accounted for, 50 to 60% of that offense, maybe even more. Okay. They didn't have great play up front at the offensive line. There was no wide receivers out there doing anything. You're paying a guy $20 million that didn't even play. Dang. So there's an argument that Danny Dimes is worth more. If you give Danny Dimes an offensive line, if you give him one playmaker outside of Saquon Barkley, could he potentially be worth $45, $50 million? So there's an argument that Danny Dimes gave the Giants a break. But I was watching ESPN earlier, and I think Stephen A. Smith probably had the best take. This is probably more about Brian Daboll than it is Danny Dimes, right? Danny Dimes was a bust. Nobody wanted Danny Dimes. What the hell are we doing? Why would you go draft this guy that high? You passed up on so many other players that could come in and impact this team in a major way. But they get him, and it was terrible the first.
Might have lost
a couple years. Insert Brian Daboll. Brian Daboll made it to the playoffs, right? And he showed well with no help. So
boy, having some issues.
So DJ, I got down.
You know why? Oh, you know why he keeps sticking like that? Because he's not making no sense. That's why. It's the football gods trying to, you know, like just pipe down a little bit. You're doing too much dip on your chip there, young man. I mean, listen,
what's going on? Did we cut off from the live stream?
No, we didn't.
Yeah, you did.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Discover why critics are calling Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes the best film of the franchise.
What a wonderful day!
It's a jaw-dropping spectacle that demands to be seen on the biggest screen possible.
I need to go.
Hang on.
It is our time.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, now playing only in theaters. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
There's a moment you realize you're ready for what's next in your career. Maybe it's when you're trying a new scone recipe and think, I could open a cafe. Or maybe you're helping a coworker and say, I could teach a course on this. Whatever your moment is, it's never too early to plan for a career that lives longer. That's why, the younger you are, the more you need AARP. For skills training, resume tips, and job listings, visit aarp.org/work.
Cheers to a great day and this ice-cold Corona.
You know what would make this day even better? My grandma's carne asada.
Or your grandma here with us, making carne asada.
She does love a cold Corona.
Throw in some dancing.
Oh, we can watch the game.
I'll drink to that.
So a backyard concert with football, food, dancing, and Corona?
And your grandma.
Or we could keep it simple.
Simple is good. Want a Corona?
Thanks. Salud to the perfect day.
Corona, la vida más fina. Get your Corona at ordercorona.com. Relax responsibly. Corona Extra Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You experiencing a little bit of technical issues over there.
Shut you down, gang. They shut you down. But nah, so I want to touch on that specifically a little bit. So Daniel Jones, I feel like Daniel Jones has done fairly good. I wouldn't say he's done great.
He's done enough.
If we go back and look at his record, I mean, I think he's, you know, maybe 50-50. I don't know about him. He might be a little less than that because the Giants haven't really been any good. You know, I'm a Giants killer. So, you know, I've done damage to them. But honestly, I think Daniel Jones has won out of the deal. I mean, obviously, $160 million, $35 million in, you know, in incentive money. I mean, that's awesome. Now, as far as Sid Kwan's on his side, I mean, I got franchised, but at $10 million, I mean, that marker for the running back is not really – It doesn't really impress me, honestly. And the reason why I say that, because I feel like last year was a pivotal year for a guy like Saquon. He came back off that injury, and he almost looked like himself. I wouldn't say he's fully got back to it, but he showed glimpses of something special. And I think that guy, man, if they have a running game, like you say, and you give Daniel Jones an offensive line, I think that's fair. The only question I have is, what do you do with the guy that you're paying $19, $20 million to? They can't even stay on the field. And when I say stay on the field, I'm not even saying stay healthy.
Mm-hmm.
No production. Mm. Can't afford to pay a receiver $20 million and get no production. Ashley, what do you feel about that?
I mean, first, the Daniel Jones situation, I think he was he reaped the benefits of the market, because I think $40 million is an overpay for Daniel Jones. I mean, I may be off on the numbers a little bit, but I think in 17 games, he threw, 14 touchdown passes? Maybe 15? So, like, there's a few games that he didn't throw a single pass. That's a problem for a $40 million quarterback. Now, did the Giants overperform the expectations that were of them last season? Yeah, that's not saying much, because, as you know, D-Jack, the NFC East is the best reality show in football, and anything is possible and anything can happen, and it usually does. So I'm not putting too much stock into that. It was impressive because it was unexpected, but it wasn't overly impressive enough that I think it should have skyrocketed his stock like that. But as we said earlier in the show, when talking about Lamar Jackson, the market is what the market is. You had no choice but to keep both of them. You had no choice but to keep Saquon. You had no choice but to keep Daniel Jones. They are predominantly most of the offense. Daniel Jones might as well be running back number two, because they don't really have, like you said, the productivity from the receiver standpoint. Didn't they just cut also Kenny Galladay? I believe they cut him or they plan on cutting him. So you really don't have any other options. The biggest chunk of your offense, you had to keep it intact. You had to pay your quarterback. You had to keep Saquon. And I don't know if this is something that's going to, I'm not expecting anything from the Giants. They're in this weird limbo stage. They're not bad enough to say that it's a complete rebuild, but they're not good enough to say that that's a team that you have to watch out for when it comes to winning the division. I think that once again, it's going to come down to the Eagles and the Cowboys. And I think it's going to be that way for a few seasons. I think the Giants are multiple pieces away from really returning back to being a truly competitive team. Yeah, they can win games, but they can't win enough games to say that they're a true competitor within that division yet. So, I mean, they did what they had to do. I don't really know if it moves the needle, though. That's really what I'm getting to.
Yeah, I agree. And I look at it as they had James Toney there. They traded him or did they release? They traded him, right?
I believe he was traded and Galladay was officially cut. That happened already.
Yeah, I mean, you trade away a guy by the name of James Toney, who's a hell of a player. He went to Kansas City and actually bought out for Kansas City. Actually, what do you feel about this? Because I've been hearing some things. I'm hearing a return to New York, Odell Beckham. What if they pull that off? Or does that put them back in the conversation for the NFC?
No, because I think Odell wants to, at this stage in his career, I mean, coming off of, you know, multiple injuries, not obviously in 1 year, but he's had a lot of substantial ones. He wants to go to a competitor. He wants to go to a team that may not be, you know, nothing in the NFL is 100% unless we're talking, even with the Chiefs, it's never 100% that you're going to win a Super Bowl. But there are teams that are more prepared to go ahead and make those runs. Why would he go back to the Giants? They're not close. I mean, if you're just going there to go ahead and look at it from a larger picture, you already have your Super Bowl ring. You already secured, you already checked that box off. Now it's time to really start the rebrand of your brand as an athlete, as an entity. Yeah, nothing's like the New York market. There's already history there. People love Odell. He obviously did not want to leave that situation. It got a little contentious, but he's always said he loved playing in New York. He loved the media. He loved what playing in New York brought him in terms of notoriety and things like that. So if you're looking at it from that lens and that perspective, yeah, go back to New York. But if you're actually trying to win and you want to add another ring to your finger, New York is not the place you're going to do that. There's a lot of other teams that come before that than New York. So it depends on what his desire is at this stage in his career. That is a question only he can answer.
Yep. So let's see what the Giants end up building around, you know, Jones and Barkley. But all right, guys, so we're going to transition to our Fact or Foolish segment. So if you remember, I'm going to read a statement. You guys determine whether it's fact or foolish, but you got to explain yourself.
Okay.
So let's get into it. And actually, we're going to start in the AFC East. So fact or foolish, the Jets will win the AFC East if they trade for Aaron Rodgers.
Fact. I mean, it's Aaron Rodgers. Let's call it what it is. I mean, we talk about the things that are, I think, fair to say about him. Strikes against him. He's not the leader he once was in terms of wanting to mold and groom a young core, but he's still immensely talented. Yeah. He's still, depending on who you ask, one of, if not the best passer of that football that we've ever seen. So to say that they wouldn't be the favorites to win that division with him as the quarterback would be crazy. Yeah. So that's, for me, that's an easy fact.
Well, hey, we're talking, you know, the Buffalo Bills, Miami Dolphins.
It's Aaron Rodgers, and the Jets have a sick defense, a top 10 defense. It's kind of a cheat code.
What you think, D-Jack? Fact or foolish?
Ah, man. I want to say fact, but I'm going to have to go on the side of the foolish, man. Mm. I honestly like Mantua, man. I like the Dolphins. I like what they was able to do, and, you know, minus the injuries, I think for sure they would have been the leader of that division. You know, not only to say that, I also like the Patriots. The Patriots over there with the what's his name?
Mac Jones.
Like Mac Jones, but they was at their defense is blossoming as well too. So I like Aaron Rodgers over there if it does happen, but I don't know. I'm gonna go on side of foolish with that one, man.
All right, foolish. Hey, that if
he ain't
Aaron
going
Rogers,
to the Jets, so it doesn't
Aaron
really make
Rodgers
a difference.
If Aaron Rodgers goes to the Jets, I can honestly say the AFC East will probably be the best division
loaded.
In football.
Yeah, it's going to be loaded for sure.
For sure, for sure. All right, so let's move to the NFC East. I'm looking forward to this one. The Cowboys will win the NFC East next season.
Absolutely.
Fact or foolish?
Facts.
Whoa.
It's all the way facts. But I have history on my side to say why it's going to be a fact. D-Jack, as you know, history. The NFC East, like I've said, is one of
flip
the
flop every year.
There is never a back-to-back leader or winner of that division. It is point. That's why it is the greatest reality show in the history of football because it is that unpredictable. You look at every division; there are back-to-back winners that come out. You can kind of go ahead, and when you make your predictions, you kind of know who's coming out of this one, who's coming out of that one. Obviously, things happen, injuries, stuff like that, but it's pretty much predictable for the most part. Not in the NFC East. We flip-flop every single year. There, statistically, the Eagles are not coming out on top next year. Statistics are in my favor. It's going back to Dallas. And like I say every season, we are winning the Super Bowl.
I'm about to stir up some damn mess. I feel like starting a goddamn fire in the kitchen.
Don't say anything like the Commanders or the Giants.
I'm going foolishness. She's foolish. I'm going with Eric Bieniemy over there, man. I'm about to go. My boy about to struck the lead. Yeah, he's about to go crazy over there. I'm going to do it. I said it. You said it. I said it.
With what quarterback?
It don't matter. They're going to find one. I'm going to say we. Yeah, I can't say we. I did used to play for them. We going to find a quarterback, even though that's my not top 10 because you got me ego at heart. But I think Eric Bieniemy, man, honestly, man, I'm excited to see what he's going to do over there, man. I want to see something different. Man, I'm tired of the Cowboys. The Cowboys every year. Got so much hopeful. Oh, this our year. This our year. And
it is
year,
our
they,
year.
They goddamn lose. It ain't even. We ain't even got to the season. Already feel they gonna blow
if
it already.
If we
the
say
Cowboys,
it enough, D-Jack, it eventually will come true. Like
listen,
it's called manifestation.
Did you see the commercial where Dak throwing to the other team? He throwing to the mother. Other
I did not
team.
See that. I didn't see that. But
hey,
listen,
whatever that commercial was
is,
where he was doing
this
whatever
is manifestation.
Yeah,
the Cowboys will win the division. The Cowboys are going to the Super Bowl. I say that every single year. And one year it's going to be true. And I feel like this is the year that it's going to be true. So
what's our friendly bargain on that? Because we
definitely got to come up with a bargain. That's an NFC East bargain. We got to think on that one for sure.
Y'all years away. I'm tired of hearing the same. Oh, this our year, the past 10. Matter of fact, when is the last time y'all won? Oh, we gonna go to the 90s. Never mind. Don't even worry about that. Next, come on, we can move on.
Yeah, it's been a little minute, huh?
Last time I checked, the Eagles don't have a Super Bowl ring this year, right? Yikes. Okay, next.
Hey. Yeah, y'all both got ammo. All right, next one. The Ravens are not a playoff team without Lamar Jackson. Fact or foolish?
Fact.
Yeah, I fact on that. I think honestly, man, as you can see last year, man, Tyler Huntley came in and did a phenomenal job. You know, won some big games for the Ravens and. You know, it's just the team's not the same, man, without Lamar, man. And two, it's a new offensive coordinator, but in the past, the offense has always been built around Lamar. So once you subtract him from that, you gotta switch the offense up a little bit, man. So for me, I don't think they're a playoff team without Lamar at quarterback.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, I mean, everything he said. No Lamar, no chance. But that's the chance they want to take. Good luck with that.
Yeah. I'd say that's fact, too. All right, next one. Geno Smith will lead the Seahawks to the playoffs next season. Fact or foolish?
I'd say fact. I don't see why that's – I don't think that's far-fetched at all. Yeah. What do you think?
I like that as a fact, too. I mean, that division is obviously – you got Arizona – it's really not doing too well last year. Kyle Murray, kind of had a struggling year. You got the Rams kind of, you know, with the Matthew Stafford injuries. And I don't know what the hell happened over there this past year with the Rams. But I do like Frisco. Frisco and the Seahawks, I definitely like them two teams to come out that division for sure. So I would see them maybe repeating. Frisco won last year, correct? The division?
Yeah. Yes. I want to say Seahawks won that division last year. Yeah.
So I see two teams coming out of that. The two teams I'm going to pick is the Seahawks and the 49ers. So I like that fact.
All righty. All right, next one, guys. Justin Jefferson will lead the NFL in receiving yards next season. Fact or foolish?
I'm going to let the receiver take this one first.
Man, Justin Jefferson, man, he's a baller, man. I love his game. I love what he's implemented to the NFL as a young receiver that's came in and lost some off the charts. to repeat it 2 years in a row.
It's hard.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, yeah, that's tough, man. You got some dogs every receiver. I like Ja'Marr Chase probably to pull this one off this year. So I'm gonna say foolishness on that
foolish?
One.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, adding on to that, there's a lot of factors, right? You have to also expect Kirk Cousins to go ahead and get him the ball, right? Mm-hmm. So it's hard to repeat something unless you have the exact same type of productivity from your quarterback as well. Mm-hmm. So I'm actually expecting Kirk Cousins to take a little bit of a slide in productivity coming into next season. So I think that's going to directly affect Justin Jefferson. But I still think he will still probably be in the top three, though.
Yeah, that was what I was going to
say. I think he'll still crack the top three for sure. Yeah.
I want to add my boy in there, man. I think Steph going to probably be up for the runner, too. I think Ja'Marr Chase or Steph probably get it this year.
All right. Yeah, we'll see. All right, guys, next one. Justin Herbert will win a Super Bowl before Tua Tagovailoa. Fact or foolish?
Okay, so.
Oh, be a thing.
I'm going. It's. I'm going to say foolish only because I think the Dolphins are more Super Bowl ready from top to bottom. But the biggest question mark is Tua. He, like we've said on this show before, he is one concussion away from not being able to play football. And we talk about this often. You can implement all the safety, you know, regimens and precautions within the game. But football, the NFL, is still a very physical and very violent sport. And there has been improvements in the science to protect players and rules to protect players, but there are just things that you can't prevent from happening, and concussions happen. So my worry is you have somebody who allegedly, as they say, cannot sustain another concussion, like on the verge of, there have been reports, is he even going to retire this season or next season or whatever it was, because of how many injuries he's had in such a short window of his career. That worries me, because an injury is bound to happen. Another concussion is bound to happen. So that's the only thing that prevents me from saying 100% yes. But if they get Lamar, all bets are off. Easily.
Yeah.
I would say fact. I like Justin Herbert's game, man. He's one of the top young quarterbacks in the league. I put him not quite in the same sentence, but I'm putting him right under a Joe Burrow. And I honestly feel like, you know, I played against him, man. I remember last year when I was in Las Vegas, and we played. It was like the last game of the season, and they had to damn near beat us to get in the playoffs, and we went back and forth, ended up going into overtime. But, man, that dude, his pulse and, you know, his demeanor, his leadership.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he got some dogs. He got Keenan Allen, Mike Williams. I mean, yeah. Herbert. I mean, not Herbert. What's the running back's name?
Austin Eckler.
Austin Eckler. I mean, I just think his supporting cast around him and his defense, he has a young
guy. Turn your camera on.
Is that Brandon Marshall?
That's what he just told me.
Yeah, but
Y'all got my audio, but y'all don't got my video. I've been listening to y'all, but finish, D-Jack. I'm going to jump back in and get my internet
voice
right.
That?
Yeah, it's just interrupting. You know, it's all good. But, I think, he has a young defense out there with, you know, the conference they're in, too. I mean, besides the Chiefs, I think they're the next best team in that conference. I mean, you have Russell over there in Denver, but struggled last year, and you know, let's not speak on the Raiders because they've been struggling too. But I think, yeah, Justin Herbert for sure wins one before Tua. So I like his chances better than that.
All right. Brandon, were you able to hear the fact or foolish statement? Did you want to chime in?
Man, I want to chime in on all the fact or foolish. I don't know if we got time, but, you know, the biggest one is the first one with the Jets. Listen, Ashley and DJ.
It's a shocker.
Listen,
here you go with this.
We going to win a division with or without Aaron Rodgers. And Ashley,
okay,
thank you
so
for
hold
standing
on. Now
up.
I got to pause you, because it takes me back to the question I wanted to ask your ass, bro. So what's going on with Zach Wilson? We talking all this talk about Aaron Rodgers.
Get him,
D-Jack.
Did you guys
make a mistake there? You guys are ready to get rid of him so fast.
Listen, D-Jack, you know this. Sometimes you make mistakes. Listen, there's no perfect man or woman to walk this earth. There's only one perfect person to walk this earth. Okay.
So give a boy
that,
your
first round pick in less than 2 years?
We're not giving up on Zach Wilson. We're not going to do that right now. Confused. Did we make a mistake potentially to draft him that high and try to implement him that fast? Maybe. Sometimes you got to take a step back. You bring in the guy, you know, a veteran guy that he can watch. He's humbled now.
So replay the Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers situation and bring Aaron in and make him be the Aaron Rodgers.
Potentially. And D-Jack, you know this, bro. Like, look, this game finds ways to humble you, even when you're on top. Yeah. The great Deshaun Jackson, great freaking Adam Pac-Man Jones, Shady McCoy. We've all had those moments.
Ooh.
It's the football gods again. I'm telling you. they don't like this Jets narrative that he's pushing.
Right, get this shit out of here, man.
tomato. Boo. The football gods are not Jets fans.
All right. Well, I guess
not only the Jets, but the entire city. Back. Everybody.
We can't hear nothing you said, man. Boo.
Boo.
Yeah. You cut out there, Brandon. We didn't really get to hear much of what you said.
You got all the celebrities calling him on his line. He just went a little too wild. He got a little too wild.
Celebrities?
A little too wild. We didn't get on celebrities.
Where we at?
He has what it takes to be successful in the NFL. He has to go through this. Oh, man. My internet. Okay. All right. I'm gone. Y'all enjoy
ain't no celebrity. Listen,
we got that.
Ain't no celebrity hitting Zach Wilson's line.
Right.
I can guarantee you. Denzel ain't calling him like, yo, Zach, let's go get some lunch together. It's not happening. Nobody cares. Nobody cares.
All right. Well, we'll move on, right? But let's stay in this quarterback conversation. So I got Deshaun Watson will return to a Pro Bowl level of play. Fact or foolish?
I like that as a fact, man. Deshaun Watson actually, man, he balled last year, man. To come in it towards the end of the season, what, week 10? It was week 10, right? He came in towards the end of the season.
Yeah, 9 or 10,
it was a shortened season for him.
He played, what, 6-7 games, man? Mm-hmm. And he came in. We played them last year when I was in Baltimore, man. He came in and was on fire, bro. I was very surprised how he came in after sitting down so long and, you know, going through what he went through. And it didn't look like he missed a step, man. So I think next year, I mean, you know, Amari Cooper over there.
Right, yeah.
Man, Chubbs. I mean, I definitely like the Browns, man. They got a good organization over there, and they're doing some great things. So I'm excited to see Deshaun get back to Pro Bowl stats, man. I think he got it.
Yeah, for sure.
I think you know, the expectations shouldn't have been too high for last season. You're coming in midway through the season after not playing for over a year. So I think having that footing under him is going to be beneficial. He'll be able to go into training camp and then straight into the preseason and then straight into the season. So he'll have an entire year to kind of get his footing once again. Are they at the top of my list in terms of teams to look out for as Super Bowl contenders? No, but they're definitely going to be a team that's going to make you work when you have to play them, for sure. That's kind of the beginning and the end of it for me. But you can't, for everything that people can say about him off the field or whatever, you have your people have their opinions. He's immensely talented. And you don't just lose talent overnight. So it's there and you'll see it again next season. Yeah. So.
Yep, we shall see. All right, guys, I got Derek Carr and the Saints will win 10-plus games next season. Fact or foolish?
10-plus?
10-plus.
I mean, I would say fact. I had them going 9-8, so I'll add another win in the column. So I'll say 10-7.
All right, successful season from the Saints.
Okay. I just feel like the division is so sparse and just, like, non-competitive that – I mean, again, we talk about defenses. Saints have a top 10 defense as well. The only thing concerning about Derek Carr on the Saints is probably the offensive line. You know, he does not do well when that pocket collapse. But outside of that, I think that he's in a better situation, at least from one side of the game, than he was with the Raiders. So I'll give him 10. And like I said, the division's weak, so he should be able to go ahead and steal it.
Yeah, what you think, DJ?
I'm gonna go foolish. The reason why I say that, Derek Carr, man, he's done some great things in Oakland/Las Vegas. the Saints, I like the Saints. They got some good young wide receivers, but I mean, I'm just not that sold on Derek Carr, man. Good, great, great, phenomenal guy, man. Personality, but you know, like Ashley just said, once that pocket closes, gonna be tough on him, man. And I don't know. I see the Saints, man. They struggled last year, even though the conference they're in is not that competitive. But yeah, I just don't really see it happen. I probably see him winning maybe 6 to 7 games at most.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm tough. I'm tough on them.
Yeah.
He's not even giving the defense no credit to bail them out in some of those games.
Right. I can't. It ain't really showed me enough.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see, you know, how that pans out. But all right, guys, let's stay in the sports realm, but let's take it to the movie theaters, huh? This is a little different Factor Foolish for us. Creed is a better movie series than Rocky, Factor Foolish.
Foolish. I mean, Creed... no, it's foolish. I mean, Creed is more culturally like fly than Rocky. But Rocky's the prototype. I mean, with him Rocky running legendary. Up him running up the stairs in Philly.
Yeah.
And dun, dun, dun,
yeah, it's classic. Dun, dun, it's classic.
I mean, come on. Like, it's just, I don't know. You can't recreate the magic of Rocky. Creed is a great series. I haven't seen the third one, but I've seen the first two. And Michael B. Jordan's doing his thing, and Ryan Coogler's doing his thing, the director. But I mean, Rocky when he was battling the Russian, if he dies, he dies. Like, come on, yeah. Like it's Rocky. I don't know. I don't think I can't. I can't put Creed above Rocky.
I would say foolishness too. You know, being able to spend a lot of time in Philly, man, and just seeing what Rocky means to the city, man, like, you know, going up the steps and, you know, that mark, man, that's a memorable mark for me in my career. And, you know, just going to do interviews, going over there, just doing, you know, taking my family. I mean, just that mark. I mean, Creed, you know, Michael B. Jordan, you know, salute to you, hats off, tips off. But yeah, nah, Rocky is the ultimate, man. That's the ultimate go-to for Philadelphia, man.
Did you ever run those stairs?
I actually did. I actually did a commercial back in the day for a Nike commercial, and they had me like go through all the subways and all the trains, and then I actually finished off by running up the stairs. So,
that
definitely is a special place in my heart. It'll always go down for that movie.
That's
Rocky.
Dope. I've always wanted to run the stairs.
Right,
never done it, but it's on my list of things that I want to do.
I was feeling like Rocky, though. I was like, oh yeah, and then start throwing on. I'm like, let's go.
Yeah.
It does something to you for sure.
When you get to the top, you're like, damn,
man,
that was a lot of work. Now I gotta go back down. Somebody come get me.
It's tough, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah,
that's hilarious. What do you have, Corey?
Well, yeah, I'm gonna say, well, I'll tell you that. With all that said, I'm still cutting on Creed. Shout out to Michael B. Jordan. Yeah, I'm watching Creed.
I'm watching Creed.
Rocky's cool. Rocky's cool and all. Like a lot of history and whatnot.
Adrian, it's a classic, come on.
I'm watching Creed. I need something.
He said I'm watching. He's going for the culture.
But when you think about Rocky, there's so many like memorable lines that Creed doesn't have. Yeah. Like you have Adrian, you have if he dies, he dies. Like, and what was it that Rocky's trainer told him when he was in the ring? I can't think of the line right now, but there's so many
like
classic moments from those films that like I don't think that Creed has. I can't name one line from Creed.
No, I hear you about baby. It's just like music sometimes. You know how like you listen to music, you know, and over time it starts to sound better, or you know, lyrics stand out to you. It's gonna be just like that with Creed, you know, in a few years.
I will say though, when Michael B. Jordan was running through the, I think it was South Philly, and he's running and they're playing Dreams and Nightmares, that was pretty dope.
Yeah.
That was pretty, when he recreated the Rocky run.
Yeah, you know, it was.
But instead of like the Rocky music that was being played, it was Meek Mill's Dreams and Nightmares. That was pretty hard. But I mean, that was one moment.
So. All right, so I got one more for you guys, right? This is, we're going to stay in the movie realm. Air, right? So there's a movie, a film about Nike and the signing of Michael Jordan, right? So the statement is, Air, the film about Nike and signing Michael Jordan will be the highest grossing movie of 2023. Fact or foolish?
Foolish.
No, you don't think that's going to do
movies,
numbers?
Movies like that movies like that are great in terms of, you know, the character arcs and the storylines and the scripts, but they don't usually do like big numbers at the box office. I also think this may be streaming. I don't even know if it's going to be in theaters. Is it going to be in theaters or is it like a streaming thing?
I thought it was going to be in movies, in the movie theaters. No,
I don't know, but
I actually might be wrong.
I mean, that's also, I think there's going to be, I think there's a few superhero movies that are coming out in 2023. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you can't beat Marvel. Mm-hmm. Like, you just can't do it. Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's going to be a great film. I heard Ben Affleck talking about it at All-Star Weekend. There's great people that are in it. I think it's a really dope story. But I also think that if you're not a sports fan, like, you're not really gonna like be, you're gonna be gravitating towards it. But when those superhero movies drop, it's over.
Yeah.
It's over. So
yeah, I don't know too much about that, but I think that's foolishness as well. Can't really give you my opinion on why, but yeah, I kind of decide with Ashley. I just think them type of movies are, you know, Michael Jordan was a legend, going to always go down as a legend, but you know, he got his fame, he got to shine, you know what I'm saying? I don't think this is going to steal it.
I hear you. All right, folks. Well, that is our show. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Paper Route. Me, Ashley Nicole Moss, Deshaun Jackson, signing out. We'll see y'all tomorrow.
Bye, guys.
Buying a Master Mechanics tool set usually means high prices, higher interest rates, and who knows how many years of monthly payments. But at GearWrench, we don't believe that your tools should take years and years to pay for. So check out Mega Mod Master Sets, the Master Mechanics tool sets that deliver pro-quality tools, organized storage solutions, an easy-to-use lifetime warranty, and much, much more. All for thousands less than you'd expect. So don't wait. Explore the sets and check availability now. Only at GearWrench.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.